ask the Lord, Lord, speak to my heart tonight through the message and draw me closer to you. Would you say that to the Lord from your heart? Lord, speak to my heart tonight through the message and draw me closer to you. Secondly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to tonight, filled with your spirit. Simply means controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. God's people said.
Amen.
As Ken said, and Ken took part of my thunder over there, but today is Valentine's Day, right? St. Valentine's Day, and I can you tell I got my red on, and Jamie has her red on, Cheryl has her red on, I think Mona Littlefoot has some red on, Amy has some red on. If anybody doesn't have red on, throw something at them. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding, but if you thought about what is the history, now there's a little bit of debate exactly what the history of St. Valentine's Day actually is. There was actually three folks, and some would say there's three different Valentines, a guy named Valentine or Valentinus, but it seemed like the one that seems to gain the most traction and the one that seems that most people accept is the history of St. Valentine's Day. I'm going to read this. This was an article by CBN, that has a 700 Club and all that. And this was back, I believe, in 2022, an article. And they talked to a priest about this, Frank O'Gara of Whitefriar Street Church in Dublin, Ireland. And he tells the real story of the man behind the holiday St. Valentine. This priest says he was a Roman priest at a time when there was an emperor called Claudius who persecuted the church at that particular time. He also had an edict that prohibited the marriage of young people. This was based on the hypothesis that unmarried soldiers fought better than married soldiers because married soldiers might be afraid of what might happen to them or their wives or families if they died. I think we must bear in mind that it was a very permissive society in which Valentine lived, says this priest O'Gara. Polygamy would have been much more popular than just one woman and one man living together. And yet some of them seemed to be attracted to the Christian faith. But obviously the church thought that marriage was very sacred between one man and one woman for their life, and that it was to be encouraged, and so it immediately presented the problem to the Christian church of what to do about this. Because again, the emperor was saying, you can't do this. We don't want people to get married. The idea of encouraging them to marry within the Christian church was what Valentine was about. And he secretly married them because of the edict. Valentine was eventually caught, imprisoned, and tortured for performing marriage ceremonies against command of Emperor Claudius II. There are legends surrounding Valentine's action while in prison. These are legends, okay? One of the men who was to judge him in line with the Roman law at the time was a man called Asterius, whose daughter was blind. He was supposed to have prayed with and healed the young girl with such astonishing effect that Asterius himself became a Christian as a result. In the year 269 AD, Valentine was sentenced to a three-part execution of a beating, stoning, and finally decapitation, all because of his stand for Christian marriage. The story goes that the last words he wrote were in a note to Asterius' daughter. He inspired today's romantic missives by signing it, "From Your Valentine." So, pretty interesting if you think about the history of Valentine's Day. And it is an important time, as Ken said earlier. I want to talk to you afterwards for stealing my thunder, but that it is a good reminder of how valuable marriage is. And part of the reason our society has gotten to the point that it has is because marriage has been devalued to the point that it has. And then and totally misconstrued in so many different ways. So tonight, being Valentine's Day, I thought we'd talk about love. L-O-V-E, love, okay? And you're going to need your Bible because we're going to turn to several passages tonight. We're going to talk about love from several different perspectives, okay? The first one is a very important one. It's from God's perspective. We're going to talk about, first of all, God's love. God's love. Now, we all know the verse in John 3:16, or I imagine that most of us do that are here tonight. And if you do, say that with me. I love hearing people recite this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. It starts out, for God so loved the world. Not just a mediocre type of love. It was an abounding, so loved the world. And can I tell you that as we talk about love, I am so glad that God let his love abound toward me in sending his Son to this world. So that when I put my faith and trust in him, I was 11 years old when I did that. When I put my faith and trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross, I can have eternal life. And really, it's not only eternal life, it's eternal love. Because that love from God lasts throughout all of eternity. Isn't that good? God's love. Another verse that talks about the love of the Lord for us is John chapter 15 and verse 13. If you want to turn in your Bibles there, John chapter 15 and verse 13. John chapter 15 and verse 13. It tells us how great the love was that Jesus had for us in going to the cross. Now, this is the very words of Jesus in the Upper Room Discourse. But notice, everything that he says is true. Y'all agree with that? Everything in this book is true. Y'all agree with that? It says in John 15, 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he goes on to say in verse 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I remember my very first Wednesday night devotion when I was a teenager was on this passage of Scripture. But aren't you thankful that God so loved the world? Aren't you thankful that there could be no greater demonstration of love, no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends? And that's us. My goodness, where would we be without the love of the Lord? I think we'd be somewhere like Paul said, if basically there is no resurrection, if there is no God, we are of all men most miserable. But I'm thankful that we can get up. Now, I know there's a lot of disappointing things in life. I get that. I know there's a lot of unpredictable things in life. I get that too. And I get that we don't have any clue what's going to happen in the next moment. But some things I know God loves me. I know I've shared this before, but it's kind of powerful to ask the theologian after many years of study and writing books and more books and teaching classes and all that. And as he neared the end of his life, he said, what have you learned? And he looked up and smiled. He said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Boy, I tell you, I've heard it said that the love of God is shallow enough for children to play in, but deep enough for elephants to swim in, or something like that. I mean, it's like, wow, God's love is for everybody, if they'll only accept. Talking about love tonight on this St. Valentine's Day, first of all, we looked at God's love. He so loved, and greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Second, what about a husband's love? A husband's love. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to hit this pretty quick. Each one of these areas, I'm sure, could be a standalone message in and of itself, but we're not going to take the time tonight. First point under this message entitled love, we looked at God's love. Second, a husband's love. A husband's love. Now, I hope that every husband here, if your wife is still on this side of eternity, better do something nice for your wife, or you may no longer be on this side of eternity after today is over. At least wish them a happy Valentine's Day or something. Now, God tells us that husbands are supposed to love their wives. You know, there's no place in Scripture that says our wives are perfect. They're not perfect. I know. Y'all get ready. Okay, y'all ready for this? Get ready. Don't fall out of your seat, okay? Get ready. Amy is not perfect. Oh. Talking about on the other side of eternity. I may be on the other side of eternity after this message is over too. But the point is, there's no such thing as a perfect wife, but we're supposed to love them anyway. And a lot of the problems, and I'll freely admit, a lot of the problems in our marriages today, it goes right back to the husband, because we're to be the leader of the home, and we do not love our wives the way that we should. Makes it very clear in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 5, I believe, Ephesians chapter 5. What is it? What's up with me here lately? Wrong reference. All right, here it is. Ephesians chapter 5. It says in, verse 25. Now, it goes through the wife, submit yourselves to your husband. The husband's the head of the wife. It says that. And then it says in verse 25. Now, this is why we're looking at this in particular, looking at a husband's love. It says, husbands, love your wives. Now, is there any question about what that means? Love your wives. I mean, it's pretty much just there. But then, in case there's any confusion, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And in case you missed it all through this chapter, he repeats and summarizes what he's been talking about. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Wow. I don't know how you could read that and not come away that husbands, we need to love our wives. And I imagine that every one of us would say, yeah, we need to do a better job of that. You see, the wives don't have as much problem respecting us and revering us and honoring us if we give them the love that we're supposed to. And if you notice, we got some really high expectations there. It says, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church, and then love her as much as you love yourself. Wow, pretty high standards, don't you think? It goes beyond just one day a year saying, oh, I love you, honey. That's that. You heard about the guy and the woman is having some problems. They went to the preacher and they was all upset. And they said, oh, man, we're having problems in our marriage. And she said, well, let's start with you, the wife. Now, what seems to be the problem? He says, well, he never tells me he loves me. Never, ever tells me he loves me. So he turned to the husband and said, well, what do you say to that? He said, well, I told her one time we got married, I figured that was good enough for all time. That's not good enough for all time. We need to tell our wives that we love them and truly love them. So God's love, again, this is not intended to be a 16-part message here. It's just, I just want to hit these and run, okay? We're talking about love. God loves us. God loves us. He so loved us, he sent his son Jesus. Jesus loved us. Greater love could he not have shown to any of us. A husband's love, we're supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it and as our own bodies. And then what about, you know, I was actually thinking about this. I was thinking, does it say anywhere in Scripture that wives are supposed to love their husband? Now there it says, you know, that we're supposed to, the wives are supposed to honor and respect their husbands. And I might as well go there while I'm there. I really think that men ought to love their wives more. But I also believe wives ought to respect their husbands more. And some will say, well, I'd respect them. I've heard something like this. Well, I'd respect them more if they loved me more. Well, it's kind of a vicious cycle. Let's just all do what we're supposed to do and move on with it. Husbands, the primary responsibility of a husband is to love their wife. The primary responsibility of a wife is to support her husband. But it does say in Scripture that they're supposed to love us too. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. It's not as extensive as what is discussed in Ephesians chapter 5, but it says it nonetheless. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Boy, I tell you what, I'm doing a really bang-up job of missing where I'm supposed to be. I'm in Timothy right now. Titus chapter 2. Here it is, Titus chapter 2. I was in Timothy. It says in verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Paul's telling Titus that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, again, this is a message for another time, but I don't see in churches, I don't see a whole lot of older men teaching younger men how to live, and I don't see a whole lot of older women teaching younger women how to live. I think we've kind of dropped the ball in that, really. And I'm not sure. It's kind of hard to figure out why that happens. But, I mean, we model it maybe, but we don't necessarily teach it. And we don't, the older women don't seem to be taking the younger women under their wings. And you say, well, there's not that many younger women. You got a point there too. But there ought to be more of this discipleship. And it says that you teach, older ladies, you teach the young women to be sober, serious, controlled, to love their husbands, to love their husband. Now, as I said before, there's no such thing as, I got another news flash for you. You ready for this? Now, this is even more shocking. Are you ready? I am not the perfect husband. Come on, someone revived Tim back there. He done fainted back there. But the wives are supposed to love their husbands as well. On this day, we celebrate love, God's love. He so loved the world. Greater love hath no man than what Jesus did for us. Husband is to love their wives. A wife is to love her husband. And number four, we're looking at a Christian's love. A Christian's love. Now, it's described. We're not going to go there right now, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's described, right? And it says the value of that. It says you can do all of these things, but if you don't have love, what's it really amount to? Right? I mean, God puts a premium, if you will, on love and our love for people and, of course, our love for Him. But a Christian's love, again, the standard and the description of love is found in 1 Corinthians 13. We're not going to go there. But under a Christian's love, we're supposed to, first of all, love God. Y'all agree with that? Turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. We're supposed to love God. Now, as I've been saying, you know, you're supposed to love your wives and they aren't perfect. And you're supposed to love your husbands and we're not perfect. But can I tell you, God is perfect. So we it ought to be a whole lot easier to love him. But can I tell you, we don't love God the way we should? I mean, it's one of those things I pray quite often. Lord, help me to love you more. Matthew 22. Notice this. Matthew 22 and verse 35. Let's stop, drop down to verse 34. It says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. Can I tell you that if we love the Lord the way we should, it will not be very burdensome for us to obey him? Can I say that it will not be that difficult for us to give up the things we ought not be doing? It ought not be difficult for us to do the things we should be doing if our love of God reaches the point that it should. And I don't believe in this world it ever will reach the point that it should, but we ought to be striving to love him more all the time. It's not just a flippant little love. I'm really concerned. I'm really concerned about some people that profess Jesus. Because this says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. Christianity is a commitment. It is. It's a commitment of your heart and life to Jesus. If it's not a commitment to you, it's not true salvation. And I see a lot of people, obviously, and we try to emphasize, it's a commitment of your life. You're giving your heart, your life, your soul, your future, your everything to the Lord. And they seem to get it, but then they don't seem to get it. It's kind of like, but it says here we're supposed to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. The whole point is, if I were to say that with everything, we're supposed to love him with everything to the max degree, okay? We're supposed to love God. But then it goes on, a Christian's love, that's point number four. We first of all look at our love for God ought to be complete, ought to be maximum, ought to be with all that we are. But then in the same passage, we're supposed to love others. Love others. You heard me say quite often, the first and greatest commandment is the love of the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second commandment, he goes into that. Verse 39, and the second is like unto it. That's the second commandment is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So not only are we supposed to love God with everything, it says we're supposed to love our neighbor. And remember, some of them, they wanted to kind of trip him up, not necessarily in this gospel, but, they said, well, who's my neighbor? And then he goes through the only thing he's popping up is prodigal son. I know that's not right. The Good Samaritan. Yeah, the Good Samaritan. So, and then the point is, everybody is our neighbor. So we're supposed to love everybody. Whoa. That's the second greatest commandment in Scripture. And it says everything else depends upon you loving the Lord with all and loving your neighbor. You see, it's pretty easy to pick who we want to love, right? Oh, I love that one. Yeah, they're pretty good to me. Yeah, I love that one. Yeah, they gave me a nice Christmas card. Yeah, I'm going to love that one. But now that rotten rascal, ain't no way. Or those people that live in that way, ain't no way I'm going to love them. They're just not right. And you're right that they're not right, but we're still supposed to love them, right? Wow. A Christian's love, described in 1 Corinthians 13, but we're supposed to love God with all. We're supposed to love others. And the last point under a Christian's love, we're supposed to love our fellow Christians. We're supposed to love our fellow Christians. Wow. Go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Almost finished. I know you find that hard to believe, but I'm almost finished. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Also in this upper room discourse, as we looked at earlier, under greater love hath no man than this. It says in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Now, as he's teaching his disciples just before he goes to the cross, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you." Now, you're like, oh, I don't get this. A new commandment. Lord, you've already said the greatest is to love the Lord, and then the second is to love one another. You know what I think is? I think he's saying basically, I'm setting a new standard here. It's new in the sense of the standard that you're going to see, because I'm going to give my life to show how much I love everyone and how much I love the world. So it's kind of like a new commandment in the sense that the bar is going to be raised. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." He's talking to his disciples, and he's saying, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." You know, I think even in a greater sense, we ought to love fellow Christians, even to a higher level. You know what I mean? And this says something really amazing. And I think we fall short of that sometimes. The nearest thing I saw this in place was when I was department leader of the young couple's Sunday school class. It was 18 to 29-year-old couples. And we had, like, best I remember, we had three or four classes of those. And I was department leader, and I had my own class as well. And it was in a mega church of probably 3,000 or 4,000 people. And in that class, we had people that really went out of their way to love people that come into that class. Because you got to keep in mind, this was a university. This was also a seminary. So you had some of these young couples who uprooted from Virginia to go to Tennessee, young couples that uprooted from Michigan to go to Tennessee to prepare for ministry, and they were down there. And our class, and Amy will vouch for this, the imperfect Amy over there will vouch for this, she'll tell you that's probably the closest I saw ever in ministry, that people loved each other so much that other people saw it, and it was like, wow. And they wanted to be part of what we had. And they reached out. When people would come, people would have them over for dinner. And people, you know, I'm not saying the whole class in general, but there was some key people in that Sunday school class. We had a really nice structure to the class. And people would say, well, we're glad to see you in Sunday school. Why don't you come over to our house Friday night? Would you do that? And things like that. And boy, that's contagious. I mean, it is. And I know that you love one another. And I think people see that and sense that when they come here. But I think we could even do better, don't you? Because you can always do better. But I believe the standard is high. And what ought to happen, we ought to love each other so much that word gets out. And it gets down to food line. And they're over there, hey, have you heard about that church on the hill? What are they handling the snakes or something? No, that's not it at all. Have you heard that they really love each other? You know, they really care for each other. You know, I think a good example was Don Carter's meal, benefit meal. I couldn't quite come up with that word. I'm just amazingly brilliant tonight. I couldn't come up with that word. But the benefit meal for Don Carter, I think word got out. You know, that we care about people. And when we help other people and encourage them along, and someone goes through a difficult time and we pick them up, now they're not going to hear everything that we do, absolutely, because we do a lot more than what they hear about. But it says in there, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Our love for each other ought to surpass that love of other people in the world. Love of each other, fellow Christians. So let's strive to do even better at that. Can we do that? Tonight, we looked at love. And what more fitting day than on St. Valentine's Day? First of all, we looked at God's love. And man, if you're here tonight, you ought to just, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you ought to just rejoice in your heart. I mean, really, for God so loved you that he sent Jesus. Wow. Amazing. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And Jesus said, I'm going to demonstrate greater love. And he did. So that I, an old rotten sinner from southern West Virginia, can go to heaven. Are you amen in the southern West Virginia part or the sinner part? I just didn't know whether I had a quarrel with you after church or what. I'm just teasing you, Connie. God's love. I get more serious up here. Okay. But I'm thankful for God's love for me. Second thing we looked at, a husband's love. Wow. We got a very high standard, men, to love our wives in spite of their imperfections. And they need to love us in spite of our imperfections. Our standard, men, we're to love our wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wow. And as we love our own selves, we're supposed to love our wives. And then wives. Oh, it says that basically more elderly women are supposed to teach the younger women to love their husbands. So we looked at God's love, a husband's love, a wife's love, and then a Christian's love. We need to love God with all, with everything. I can say this safely. I am not there. I love God, but I could love him more. And I believe I could look around and say, I'm sure you love God, but I imagine you could love him more. And then we're supposed to love others. I mean, everybody. I don't care what political stripe they might be. I don't care how blooming crazy they might be. I don't care how many different drugs they might be on. I don't care what country they're from. I don't care their income level. We are supposed to love them. I mean, you can shake your head at them, but you still got to love them, right? And then lastly, we're supposed to love fellow Christians so much that people say, they must be disciples of Jesus. Something different about these people. It says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, because you have love one for another. So tonight, on St. Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2024. Let me ask you some questions. First of all, do you love your spouse the way you should? Do you love your spouse the way you should? Could it go up a notch or two? I'm sure. What about loving others? I'm sure that could go up. How about loving fellow Christians? Do you think that could go up a notch or two? How about loving God? Do you think that could go up a notch or two? If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. I'm gonna repeat those again. And if you'd like to, would you take just a moment? And I don't know about you, but I'm sure in every area that's been mentioned, I could turn it up a notch or two, to be 100% honest with you. So as I mention this, would you just take a moment in the silence of tonight and say, Lord, help me to turn it up a notch or two? How about loving your spouse? Would you talk to the Lord about that? Maybe say, Lord, would you help me to turn it up a notch or two? If you have a spouse, if you're married tonight, would you say, Lord, help me to love them more, a notch or two up? Secondly, what about loving others? Could you turn that up a notch or two? In this, others are people that totally, absolutely, 100% disagree with us on a gazillion different things. But could you love those people more? Talk to the Lord about that if you would. Thirdly, could you love your fellow Christians more? Could you turn that up a notch or two? Would you talk to the Lord about that? And lastly, could you love God more? God's love for us is perfect. God's love for us is perfect. But could our love for him increase? Should it turn up a notch or two or three or four? Or if so, would you talk to the Lord about that? And all of God's people said,